It's a Tuesday. What do we do at this time? We do a dial-a-doc is what we do. We head to FHN. And now today we're going to the President and Chief Executive Officer of FHN. Mark Gridley is with us. Hey, Mark. Good morning. Hello.
Hi, Scott. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks a lot for being here. Of course, our topic, of course, what else? The elephant in the room, COVID-19. Apparently, it's here in the area, in adjoining counties, up in Dane County and also Winnebago County. Maybe let's start talking about the coronavirus, technically COVID-19. I understand there's multiple types of coronaviruses. Maybe define what is a coronavirus.
Sure. So coronaviruses have been around for quite some time. The challenges of this particular strand is more serious than what we may have seen in the past. Sometimes a coronavirus could be as mild as a cold-type symptom or real mild flu symptoms, but this COVID-19 it's really a respiratory illness that spreads from person to person, and this COVID-19 is a new coronavirus, so it was first identified in China, as we knew about the outbreak there, and as everybody should be well aware, is on March 11th, the World Health Organization declared it as a pandemic because of how contagious that it is. Some of the symptoms are mild, severe fever, cough, shortness of breath, and there's really no vaccine to protect against COVID-19 and no specific antiviral treatment for the virus at present, though there's a lot of progress being made. One of the biggest challenges is there's a lot of people that are at high risk, such as the elderly, people with immune-compromised disease, and, of course, those already with respiratory compromise.
What makes this so different and potentially dangerous? What is it about COVID-19 that gives us this concern?
Really, the ease of which it spreads. And one of the challenges is that many people could be carrying COVID-19 and not have any symptoms, but pass that along to some of those vulnerable populations. And one of the differentiators that we're talking about a lot is the death rate as compared to a number of other illnesses that we've seen in the past.
Tell us, put that in context. What do we think the death rate is of COVID-19?
It's really uncertain of what the actual rate is, but to give you some context, the flu historically has had a mortality or death rate of 0.1%. We know that some estimates out there for COVID-19 vary from as low as 1.4% to 3.4%. But really, without the actual denominator of how many people are positive, it's hard to get an exact number. But what we do know for sure is that it's much more lethal than influenza, also known as the flu.
Yeah, because part of the problem here, we're talking to Mark Gridley, he's the President and Chief Executive Officer of FHN, is that because of the test kits are limited, you're not testing people who are well. I mean, who are not showing any symptoms, so we don't know. Those are the ones that potentially have it, but are just carrying it.
Correct. There's a lot of people that can be carrying this and transmitting it. It tends to have a longer life than some other viruses and can move pretty quickly, and that's where it's hard to detect and to prevent because people are not necessarily displaying symptoms right away. It's taking a while. Some don't even have any symptoms yet, they can pass the virus on.
And so it's really, generally, it's about twice as contagious potentially of the flu, and then in the range of about 10 times is what I understand, more fatal than the flu, meaning that the flu kills about 1 in 1,000 people. This may be in the range of about 1 in 100. Is that about right?
It is definitely a much higher mortality rate or lethality rate as compared to the flu. As far as how much more contagious, that's really not quantified. Again, hard to know without having that denominator, but we do find that it's highly contagious.
All right. What about the cases that have been reported in the region? Tell us about this.
So we've had just a few cases in the region, thankfully. We know that in rural Winnebago County, there was a positive, and that person is recovering at home under self-quarantine. We also had a positive in Dane County, as you're aware of, in the Wisconsin area. And then in Whiteside County, there was another positive. And again, that person, I believe, is home and home quarantine recovering from this. The nice, I guess if there is a nice thing, is that the recovery rate is pretty high for people that do the right things and take care of themselves. It's really just that high-risk population that we have to be especially careful for.
And what is FHN doing to help identify these cases of COVID-19?
We're in the process of doing a number of things. One of the first stops is really doing a lot of screening, making sure that we have some good thorough assessments of people as they're reporting symptoms or as they're coming to appointments, making sure that we're going through the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention guidelines. We also have some algorithms that we put into place to kind of follow care paths for people as well. Screening is the biggest thing right now.
Tell us about screening. Tell us about testing. Are you testing people locally? And do you have the other big issue that we're hearing about? Do you have enough test kits?
That is a big issue. We are doing some limited testing, and that's why we're first stop is screening, is because there are limited resources available for the actual test kits. The laboratories have the capacity to run the tests. The challenge is the test kits, which include nasopharyngeal swabs and some other testing supplies, are limited across the globe. So we want to make sure that we're only utilizing those kits for people that are at high risk or have a higher probability to make sure we have enough to actually do the testing. And I know that there are more in manufacture, but there's a delay in getting those deployed. One of the other things is that areas that are hot spots are certainly getting a greater allocation of those testing kits going to them because they've had positives in their area, where thankfully we have not had positives yet. I think it's just a matter of time. But as being such, we have limited access to be able to get additional testing kits. So we do have some test kits. We're just being very judicious about how we utilize them, so we make sure we have them for the people that are really in need. And I'd probably add to that our personal protective equipment, such as masks and gowns and gloves. Those are also things that we're conserving and watching very closely to make sure that we have those available to protect our healthcare providers and to protect the people that really have proven a need to have that.
We're talking to Mark Gridley. He is the president and chief executive officer of FHN, talking about COVID-19 here today. Mark, what should people be thinking about here with COVID-19? What should they be doing? What should they not be doing?
Sure. There's a lot of recommendations out there, but probably the most important thing is staying home if somebody is feeling sick. It may not be COVID-19, but there's a number of respiratory illnesses. It could be the flu. And we just want to try and avoid close contact with people to try and contain this the best that we can. On the prevention side, making sure that we're washing our hands and we're cleaning and disinfecting frequently touched surfaces. Want to try avoid touching your eyes and your nose and your mouth. Certainly want to make sure that if you are using a hand sanitizer, that it's 60% alcohol or higher. Yeah, but the best is really soap and water, and that's readily available right now. If people have questions, don't show up at the doctor's office. It's better to call so that we can avoid contact with a lot of people, and we can help direct folks from there. But it's really following the guidelines that are out there, remaining calm, being rational, and working on this together to help make sure we contain it as much as possible.
You know, I had really thought about, you know, the number of times that my hands touch my face and my eyes and mouth. You know, it's just startling to me is how often I've been, I'm trying not to do it as much as I do, but it's one of those habits that you're kind of into.
Absolutely. It's a difficult thing to try and break that habit. But again, proper hand washing and being aware of that and really thinking about others.
What about employers? What should we be doing? What's your suggestion there, Mark?
For employers, some of the things that even FHN is doing is looking at how many work-at-home options we can really afford to allow people to do. So setting up remote access, really questioning about does somebody need to come in or be into a group environment. If we can mitigate that as much as possible, that would be really important. One of the things that employers should not do is send employees to the ER for screening or the health department. Really giving a call to their physician or provider office, using MyFHN, which is our patient portal. We also have a FHN Now app that's for virtual visits to talk to somebody before sending directly for care. We really want to try and limit the contact that people are having with each other.
And I'm assuming that with the announcement yesterday by the government and the president of the task force, is that, and looking at Italy and looking at China, looking at Spain, It sounds as if maybe this next 15 days are a critical period of time for us to really follow these rules, because we want to bend the curve in terms of this. We don't want it to spike. We want it not to spike, but instead it's going to grow, apparently. We can't control that. But we want it to grow at a much slower rate so that it doesn't overfill and overburden the healthcare provider system. Is that right?
That's correct. We certainly want to try and slow. We know that there's going to be an expansion and that we're going to see more positives. But if we can slow that and try and contain and prevent as much as possible, that's going to make it a lot more manageable. We're trying to set up mobile screening sites here at FHN so that we don't have people actually coming into the facilities. But even as we do that, we want to make sure that we're able to provide distancing between patients so that we're not mixing healthy patients and ill patients. And it's always one of those things that if we can remain calm, follow the guidelines, even though it's inconvenient, it's going to help us all in the long run.
I know that we're talking about the vaccine is not going to be ready. If there is going to be a vaccine, it's not going to be ready for at least until next summer, apparently. Is there, I understand, like with the flu, there's like a Tamiflu that you could take that would lessen the impact of the flu. Is there some kind of a treatment that they're working on that maybe we would have prior to getting a vaccine, that there would be some type of a treatment that would maybe help lessen the extent of how this coronavirus impacts us?
Well, we certainly have some of the brightest scientists and medical providers in the world working on that. And so there's a lot that's under research and development, and they're speeding through some clinical trials to see what can be developed. I think there's a probability that we would have something, but it's not here yet, although, of course, that's being actively worked on.
All right. What about where can people find out more information, Mark?
FHN has dedicated a webpage to the coronavirus, so at fhn.org/coronavirus. Or if you just go to our homepage at www.fhn.org, you can link to that. We have links to the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, which is one of our main sources of fact and truth. And we also have links to the Illinois Department of Public Health, who we're working with closely on their website. And I really want to remind people to just get information from trusted sources. We're only going to post information that we know is factual and that is validated and is a trusted source of information. There's a lot of misinformation out there and a lot of rumors. So the more that we limit where people are going for information to really those credible sources, the better off we're all going to be.
All right. You're saying basically don't bullet. If you see something on Facebook, don't take it at face value. Check it out.
Well, I would question many of my Facebook friends who a couple months ago were political experts are now infectious disease experts. I don't know how they switched so quickly. But yes, that's definitely some of the things you may want to be a little bit more skeptical about.
All right. Mark, great information. I know we're going to be talking on a regular basis. Thanks a lot. We'll talk again soon, okay?
Thanks, Gunn. Thanks for getting information out to people. I think it's really an important service that your station is doing.
Thank you very much, and you guys as well. That, you know, the providers, you medical providers, you guys are walking and running to the virus on a daily basis. That is amazing, and I know that you're proud of your providers.
Absolutely. We're very proud of our team of providers and all of our healthcare staff. They're on the front lines. Oftentimes, they're dealing with very limited resources, but they're committed to the families throughout our community to help them.
We're going to get through this, right?
Absolutely.
All right. That's Mark Gridley here today, President and Chief Executive Officer of FHN, preceding brought to you today by FHN.